Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Riverside Center for the Performing Arts this morning in riversidedt.com, and it is good old Patrick Ahern here this morning. Patrick, good morning.
That's the first time you've ever said that.
It just came in, and I thought, you know what? We've gotten so comfortable with each other.
Yeah. This morning, because I was up watching the convention late, both Monday night and Tuesday night, and so I was really tired. I was dragging this morning. So good old
Patrick.
It feels like that. Yeah. That
sometimes,
this morning.
Now, if we had people from the show in, we would play the role of this is a radio show.
Yeah.
But it's just
no,
you and
we're
I
not here to impress anybody.
Impressing anybody this morning. Murder on the Orient Express is underway.
Yes.
I have not seen it yet. I am really looking forward to it. Is it as good as I think it's going to be?
It's good. Yeah. It's I am shocked. No, I'm not shocked. I am pleasantly surprised that we have been packed. Last week, I mean, we had almost 1,300 people, and that doesn't always happen in an opening week because people wait and hear what the buzz is and want to give it a few days to. And we were just jam-packed last week, and I think it is people really are anxious to see like a whodunit or a murder mystery.
I think so too, because this took the place of Clue.
Yes, yeah.
So many people were, I was one of them, of like, oh.
Yeah.
But
when
I saw this, I thought, I think I'd rather see Murder on the Orient Express right now.
Yeah, it's really beautifully done, and the cast is great, and I think the show, the set and the lighting and the projections and everything look terrific, and there's no orchestra, there's no singing, there is incidental music in the background, but the story has everybody breathless at points, and it's doing well for us, and it's only two more weeks after this week, so if people want to see it, they got to get their tickets and get in soon
through September the 8th.
Yes, yeah.
I just looked at that. I think I was thinking I had another couple of weeks.
No.
I need to...
Yeah, because we broke it up with 2 weeks of Love Letters and then 4 weeks of Murder on the Orient Express. So, generally, sometimes in this run, it would be a 7 or 8 week run, which we were supposed to have with Clue. But then when all that happened and the rearranging, we're filling an 8 week slot with 6 weeks.
This has been a fun summer though, because because Love Letters was just you and Sally were just fantastic.
Yeah, when she asked me, or she didn't ask me, she told me I was doing
it. You're gonna do it with her, yeah.
I was not resistant, but there's just so much going on with the nonprofit and things that have to be done. And I thought, oh gosh, the last thing I need now is to have to be on stage for 2 weeks. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was really, I had never done anything like that before. So, I always say it's really great, especially as you get older, that you can still do things that you learn from. It was special to be on stage with Sally, because over the past 13 years, we've become such good friends. So I think it amazed me how well the show sold and how audiences were over the moon about it. Because I thought, well, we're probably going to get some people who are used to coming to see a big musical, or the music, the singing, the this. And then even if they come to see a play, there's movement or there's a scene change. And this is just two people sitting at desks and talking to each other, not even looking at each other.
No, it's all through, they're talking through letters.
Yeah, through these letters. And I wonder if we'll get complaints, but no, Sally, everybody loves Sally. And people mesmerized. And there were times when you could hear a pin drop in there.
Yes.
And so that really pleased me, excited me. And I'm glad it, you know, some people said to me, wow, this takes Riverside to a whole nother level. And that's the goal, you know, to keep doing interesting things and making our audiences realize that we're not just some little small town theater. We have become, you know, one of the premier regional theaters on the Atlantic coast. So
you're right. It's not just music. I'm trying to remember. Was On Golden Pond the first one that you did?
No. The first time we did a play, because Riverside had never done musicals.
Right.
It was a big deal. Really, when I brought it up about doing a play, I was told, "No, we don't do that here. We only do musicals." Right. And but in 2013, was it? 2014.
Okay.
We were doing West Side Story, and there was some kind of shakeup with the rights, and I was either going to have to lose the show entirely or push it back. And we were doing, Forever Plaid was the show that was preceding West Side Story. And I thought, how am I going to run Forever Plaid for 14 weeks? I can't do that. I've got to find something that I can fit in here for 4 or 5 weeks. And I said, well, now's our time to do a play. And no disrespect to my predecessor, Ron Wayman, but Ron was, you know, he was adverse to doing plays. And so Ron had passed in February of 2014. And so I thought, well, if we're going to try something, let's do it.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
I'm trying to think. What
Steel Magnolias.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It was done, and it was really, we didn't even have that much time to get the word out. And I think we averaged, you know, 700 or 800 people a week, and people responded, and people said, wow, it was nice to see something that was different. Because, you know, there are people that don't necessarily like to go see a show that all of a sudden they break out into song in the middle of the scene, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then the second play we did was Driving Miss Daisy.
Okay, I was wondering, that was what I was thinking was first. And then I was
with Karen Grassley, who was Ma Engels on Little House on the Prairie. And that brought in over 1,300 people a week. And I started slowly because I thought, well, let's do a play, but let's do something that's got a lot of notoriety. Mm-hmm. And of course, I stayed in the genre of plays that became movies, such as Steel Magnolias, such as Driving Miss Daisy, I think won the Academy Award.
Yeah.
And then it was On Golden Pond with Joyce DeWitt.
Yeah.
So, On Golden Pond, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, and now Murder on the Orient Express. So we're really, you know, ramping it up.
You can't, it's good that you can't just say this Riverside is just this.
Mm-hmm. No, you can't. No, you have to be dynamic in what you choose. So
and to have the talent around here and the actors that can come in and can do all of these parts.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are a lot of strong actors in this community. I know when I first came to Riverside, many of the local performers that work there, I was amazed at their talent. And as a matter of fact, it's really Fredericksburg, Stafford area has become really strong in terms of providing arts with the symphony and, of course, with us. And there are, Stage Door Productions, Fredericksburg Theater Ensemble, the Lake of the Woods Players, several strong community theaters in this area.
Yeah.
And some of those people work with us at Riverside too, and do some of the plays at FTE downtown.
So many of them, because I'll do side stories at times with them, and I'll say to somebody, and you know, somebody will say, or we'll just get talking, and I'll say, have you ever, you know, talked to Patrick?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've had, parts in different ones.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm really surprised.
Yeah, they what is it called? There's a name for something community theater. Is it a gentleman's name?
Oh, when I hear the commercial,
that apparently this gentleman has put some money in or made it the all, I can't remember what they call it, All-Star Community Theater or something like that.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's down recently. At 810. I wish I could get there more often because they do things that mainly plays and they do a really good job. I mean, some of the things that I have seen there have been quite good. So it makes us better in the area to have variety and to have different things that people can attend and see, and who knows, maybe at some point Riverside will partner with them and we can do some things, you know, together.
Yeah, as you're growing, and I think it also makes them better because some of those actors have said to me, mm-hmm. you know, I've tried out, I haven't made it yet, but you know, my goal was to be able to, you know, be part of a play at Riverside. So
we have two gentlemen who are in Beautiful are doing the Shawshank Redemption
for that
mm-hmm. group right now. Yep. So we do use some of those people. But it's great to see the area so filled with talent and filled with variety of what happens on the stage, what happens in music. You know, you've got a lot of bluegrass in this area and country music. Yep. And I'm amazed. I think it's a terrific area for the arts.
And I think even just you tapped into something a few years ago when you started doing, started tapping into high schools.
Oh, yeah.
And recognizing those high schools you have, you know, and those kinds of things. And then you talk about some of these kids that are coming through and part of these
amazing
projects.
And one of the kids that I talked about, I think, on the last show, two
King
of them,
George.
Actually, Oscar Madsen from King George and Nia Lee, who is in Beautiful. She's done a few shows with us now. These kids are strong.
Yeah.
Oscar just graduated. I think Anaya is in her senior year, maybe junior year. She's a Chancellor. And the talent needs to be nurtured because these kids are. I mean, you'd be amazed at some of the kids that land on Broadway in their early 20s. You know. Mm. If we can help certainly if the talent is right here in our own backyard, I am going to use it. You know, we do bring in people from outside the area, but if somebody's just as good here as somebody that I would, you know, I'm going to use who's local.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Patrick Ahern here this morning. Murder on the Orient Express right now through September 8th, and it's Beautiful. We'll talk about Beautiful when we come back, and then mm-hmm. we've got to talk about the next season
is out. Yep.
That's exciting. Yep. So we'll do that too this morning with good old Patrick Ahern here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFEA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFEA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Patrick Ahern here this morning, Riverside Center for the Performing Arts. It's Murder on the Orient Express, riversidedt.com to get your tickets for that. And you've got to do it between now and September 8th. So have that in mind. In my mind, I've thought, I got a couple weeks.
That's what people do. They think, you know, generally our runs are 7 or 8 weeks. But we put two different shows in this slot. The murder is just 4 weeks. Yeah. And
so don't forget about that.
Yeah, don't forget. And if you want really good seats, and you probably do want to sit, you know, somewhat, not on top of the stage, but I think it'll make a little bit of difference if you're closer. It's been selling very well. So I would call in and get your tickets soon.
It is a great story. There's not much really we can talk about it without giving anything away.
It is
a great mystery.
Well, and it's a famous movie. I remember the original movie,
and then
they did a remake not too long ago with Kenneth Branagh. And, you know, I didn't even remember how it all you know, when I watched the play again, I was like, oh, that's right. And I always say to the audiences when I'm there to do the announcement, I said, now, if you've seen the show or the movie, keep your mouth shut.
Yes.
Don't say anything. You know, don't ruin it for other people.
It is a great story.
Yeah.
It is so well written.
Yeah.
It is just.
And the cast, the cast is really, really spectacular.
Yeah. Which I don't even think about it anymore. You just expect it. It's always, you know, it's been really interesting. I noticed the night I was there with Love Letters, and then a few days later you had a press conference announcing some of the changes
with a nonprofit. Yeah.
Yeah. To see, I saw Ian. I've seen a number of people that are in that are regulars at Riverside coming to some of these productions that they're not in.
Yeah. Oh,
or
yeah.
They're not part of. But just, it's a family.
Ian Lane saw Love Letters about 6 times. I said, are you? He said, I love it. I love, you know, the chemistry between you and Sally and the story.
Yes,
and he said, I can't get enough of it. And that pleased me. But yeah, the people that work for us that come and support us when they're not in a show, you know, and that doesn't happen often for Ian because he's in a lot of the shows. I mean, especially the musicals. He's got a powerhouse voice.
Yep.
Just one of the best voices I've ever heard. And that's including anybody I've worked with in New York.
He can be lovable.
Oh,
he can be a villain.
Yeah. No,
everything.
He's come on strong as an actor. And the voice, I mean, I always say to people, Ian's going to be in, you know, if it's a big musical or whatever, because his voice fills 3 guys.
It does.
So,
yes.
You know, I mean, it's like a bargain when I have him in the shows. But
that is so interesting he said that, because I could have come with him every night and sat with him.
Yeah.
Every night he went there, because when I saw it and then you and Sally came in and I was so enthused about it. But it really was not only the story, it was just the process.
Mm-hmm.
It was how, it was the inflection and the timing and the chemistry, all of that, that just made that such a powerful show.
That was what was, it's probably will become a highlight of my career.
Yeah.
I mean, I said to Sally, you know, here we are, such good friends, but I said to her, you know, I would have never thought back when I was in 6th, 7th grade, watching you on All in the Family, that I would someday share the stage with you.
Yeah.
And she made her tear up. And I said, but it's just, it's amazing what talent and what we do can do for a human being and can do for an audience. And those of us that really nurture it and take it seriously and have made it our profession, there's nothing like it. And and I just, every night when we did the show, I got so into it. And, you know, my family said, gosh, we saw sides of you that we've never seen before. And you got so, that section when you guys had the affair and you were so determined on not having anything get in the way of that election, and you just blew off. And I said, yeah, it's like, it's in the moment kind of stuff. You know, nobody was there to, we didn't have a director per se on the show. I mean, I have known of the show and I had never done it. So I basically worked on it myself until Sally arrived, and we both had basically 2 days together before we opened. But
which is just amazing.
It is the tools that we learn over the years as actors. She might have said 2 or 3 things, because I said, Sally, for better or for worse, you're going to be sort of like the director because you've done this 9 times. Please, you know, let me know. And I think maybe there were 3 little things that she had mentioned to me, and then she walked away from it. You know, our last performance, she's quite emotional, and she said, you're the best person I've ever done this with. And I'm pretty certain that all the other people that she has done Love Letters with have been celebrities. I know I'm a local celebrity.
Yeah. Right.
But and I'm saying that with in jest.
I don't,
you
absolutely.
Know me. I don't.
No.
But you know, it's really been great that she, you know, and she wants to do it again. She said, you know, I get asked to do this all the time. I I want you to do it with me. And I said, well, I do have a full-time job.
I was going to say, you can't leave us.
Yeah,
for,
yeah. But
for a couple
so
of
it
weeks
was a wonderful
this.
Experience. Yeah. And you know, here I was reluctant, but boy, I'm so glad I did it.
Well, and you've been always so tied to what you did on Broadway, and you've done some of those. You'll do musicals.
Number of those numbers.
You'll have done just a number or two in some of the shows. This was a different side of you.
And it was
some of those parts. It was like, huh?
And people did say to me, "Wow, we didn't realize you were, such an actor." And I said, well, I have been doing it for a long time.
Right.
And there were people that came to see the show that were either coming up to me or saying to other people, boy, he was really good for not being a professional. And
what?
People would say, do you know what he's done?
And he's directed, this year, you've directed this season, at least three?
Yeah.
You kind of know your way around.
But it's interesting because people, and maybe, there's something to be said for it. I know a lot of people are sad that we don't have the programs anymore. But we have them, but they're all through digital.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I guess people don't read my bio sometimes,
Yeah.
But anyway, Love Letters was a great experience. Sally was terrific in it as well. And we had a great time. And I think, we did really well. I think we averaged almost 900 to 1,000 people a week. So that was really great. Yeah.
We'll talk about it at the very end, but we'll just real quick. Beautiful is next.
Yeah.
And you're really excited about this show.
Well,
just a little bit you and I have talked.
Everybody was really excited about Jersey Boys. And I remember seeing Jersey Boys on Broadway 15, 16 years ago when it first opened. And it was like the sensation. It was the big deal show. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was good, but it never blew me away like it did for a lot of other people. When I saw Beautiful, for me, maybe it's because I loved Carole King and I loved her music, and I remember having the Tapestry album and all that stuff. But I just thought, for me, that resonated more, and I, in my own opinion, believe Beautiful is a stronger jukebox than Jersey Boys. But at any rate, we're doing both of them in the same season,
Right. Yeah.
And I watched the first act last night. They started rehearsals on Sunday, and they've been working on all music. And last night they did what is called a sing through, read through of the play, where they just sit down like Sally and I did.
Yeah.
But they sing all the numbers, they read the script there, and tell the story. And oh my God, people are just not going to know what to make of it. I mean, they will be. It's going to be out of this world. That's all I can say.
Get your tickets.
Oh yeah, because it's already. People are going nuts.
So it's going to start the 18th.
Starts the 18th and runs till the 10th, I believe, of November.
Okay.
And then we're in the holidays. Oh, my God, I can't believe
it. What has happened to the year?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then you've already announced the next season. We're going to come back and talk about that.
Yeah.
RiversideDT.com. Get in on all the excitement and just the you'll just have a great time. With all of these shows. Patrick Ahern here, Riverside Center for the Performing Arts. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 831.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a centennial broadcasting station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Patrick Ahern here this morning with Riverside Center for the Performing Arts and Murder on the Orient Express through September 8th. Beautiful comes up next beginning on the 18th, and we will talk about Beautiful again before we get out of here this morning. But what a lineup for next season.
Yeah.
You just announced it, and which was really cool. Didn't you announce it after the final show.
The final show of Love Letters. Yeah, yeah. We were going to do bring back the Sip and Sing cabaret thing that we did for a couple of nights in August, and we chose we were going to do August 7th, I think, was one of the Wednesday nights we were going to have that, and so we thought, well, we'll announce the season, we'll have some of the singers who are going to be involved,
yeah.
But it didn't catch, I don't know if we announced it too late or whatever, it just didn't catch any traction, and it wasn't going to be feasible financially to do it for low attendance.
Sure.
So we decided, let's not bring that back right now. Let's you know, wait for another time, and we'll just announce the season. Sally and I will do it at the end of the run of Love Letters, which we did. And oh my God, the attention. We had record-breaking ticket sales on the first day that the season tickets went on sale, that Monday after Love Letters closed. The phones were constant. I mean, it was absolutely
that?
Amazing. And we sold the most season tickets in one day in the history of the theater. So,
wow.
Yeah. And I know Alice and Mayberry are incredible group sales, marketing. She runs the whole show there. She has been telling me that the groups are booking for all of the shows. That's how strong the season is. And I wanted to choose a season that was a mixture of tried and true classics and some things that make a difference. And I think we've just got the perfect blend.
It's a great mix. But just the fact that many people have signed up or are enthusiastic, what a vote of confidence that the community understands what we have here.
Well, we broke another record last week. We took in 1 week at the box office. I'm not going to share the amount,
right.
But six figures and better. In 1 week of ticket sales for what's happening at Riverside between Murder and Beautiful and the season ticket sales, and that has never happened. And that is, I have to say, a great testament to Allison Mayberry, who is our marketing director and our group sales manager, and Alexis, who works with her, and Nancy Huffine, who is our box office manager, and Kristen Mead, and Tammy, who am I forgetting? I'm forgetting somebody. But they all do such a tremendous job.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. We can pick the best season and have the best shows, but ultimately those are the people, the nuts and bolts people that are the ambassadors that have to sell those tickets. And to take on the volume that can come in of what we did this last week and the first day of season tickets to be on sale is just terrific. Oh, Joni's at the box office too. I forgot Joni. I tried not to forget anybody. What a team.
Yeah.
What a team that we have. Nancy has been with Riverside longer than I have been at Riverside, and she's come and gone a couple of times, but she does a terrific job managing that box office and the ladies that work there. I mean, Kristen Mead has been with us a long time, and boy, I always call her Magic Mead, because she can come in and those phones just get going, and they all do such a great job. And of course, I can't say enough about Allison, but the season is quite good. I know how much everybody loves Elvis and in this area. And so we always love to kick off a year with a great sort of a show that is a lot of music, and a lot of nostalgic music, and such as Jersey Boys and Million Dollar Quartet and Buddy Holly and Now Beautiful. And so we are going to be doing a show called Heartbreak Hotel, which is the story of young Elvis, him growing up as a young boy, becoming famous in his early days, his story with his parents and his early loves, and his famous manager that Tom Hanks played in the movie with, can't think of the gentleman that was so great as Elvis in the movie just recently.
Yeah.
But so it's going to be more in that order, which is kind of nice because of the movie being out in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
I think there's a heightened interest for his story. Yeah.
That showed me so much. That movie showed me how much people do like Elvis.
Because
the movie was terrific. It was long.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just kept thinking, this is so long. But
yeah.
The people who were the Elvis fans, it wasn't long enough.
Well, and the show won't be long because, you know, with these jukebox musicals, in about 5 or 6 lines, they cover about 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And so, and just like watching the read through of Beautiful last night, my head was just going, wow, from one thing to how her life started as she was just dreaming about being a composer.
Yeah.
And then to all these hit songs for the Shirelles and the Righteous Brothers. And so you will get the story of Elvis, and it covers, I think, over 40 songs of his catalog of hits.
Oh, wow.
And so we're really looking forward to that. And I think Allison said to me, that's the big, all the groups are just, I mean, that's the hit right now. That's the big sell. So,
do you have an Elvis picked out?
Well, not yet. We're in the process of seeing people and looking at submissions. So I'm going to have the best Elvis I can possibly have. I won't settle. So,
question about that.
He's out there. And then right after Heartbreak Hotel, a show that I've always wanted to do, a lot of people have asked for it at Riverside, and we've just never done it. But Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they'd never been to Riverside before.
Never been to Riverside. I don't know of anybody that's ever done it locally. And when I say locally, Stafford, Fredericksburg area. I don't know if it's ever been done regionally in D.C. Yeah. I'm sure it has. But and I don't know about Richmond. Now, tours have come through. But I just thought, gosh, let's do something that's... it's a knockout show. I mean, the music.
Gosh, and, the music is just big.
It's just big. It is like a big rock concert with the biblical story of Jesus and the crucifixion. And
be around Easter time.
It'll be all during the Lenten season, and it'll close the week after Easter. So, with Carson Eubank, my associate producing artistic director and our music supervisor at the helm of that music.
Ah!
It's just going to be something else. And the orchestra with it. And I was not going to direct it. It was not going to be one I was going to do. And Ted, I was on one of my walks one night and I started thinking about the show and I went, oh, wait a minute. And I thought of an idea, and I said, well, now I'm going to have to do this.
Okay, yeah, because you told me.
Of how to build a show and go back to its originations back in the late 60s, early 70s. So I'm really excited about working on it and coming up with this idea. But that will be our second show of the season, and I'm sure that's going to be a huge hit. And then our third show, which we are very fortunate to be one of the first regional theaters in the country to get the rights to do this classic, because it was held up in a lawsuit, the rights for a little bit, To Kill a Mockingbird, which is such a classic. I mean, everybody read that.
Everybody talks about it.
And it became a big hit on Broadway about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, maybe. Aaron Sorkin was given the rights to make some changes in it. Not big changes, but in the way they told the story. Wrote some new lines or scenes. And because of that production, the original production, Harper Lee's story that was turned into a play way back when, was prevented from being produced. Even though it wasn't the same version as the Aaron Sorkin version, you couldn't do it. You couldn't touch it. And there was a legal battle between the estates and so on and so forth. Anyway, it's finally come to be that the original version of the play is now allowed to be done. And so I seized the opportunity to grab it because it is popular. It's even more popular since it was done on Broadway with Jeff Daniels. And then what was the gentleman's name? Ed Harris did it on Broadway. Yeah. Richard Thomas, John Boy Walton did it and has been touring the country with it. And what's going to be terrific in our production, we're working out all the details now, but one of our local people who grew up here in Fredericksburg, Tug Coker, John Coker, was a very renowned orthodontist in this area. Mm-hmm. And big supporter of Riverside. John's on our nonprofit board right now, and what a doer and a hard worker. And he was an original investor in Riverside with his wife Linda. And so I had this idea because Tug is done quite well as an actor. He's done a lot of film, a lot of television.
Yeah.
There was a show on Broadway. It didn't last a long time, but there was a show on Broadway directed by Thomas Kail, who directed Hamilton. And it was called Magic Bird. And it was the story of Magic Johnson and Larry Bird's relationship.
Yeah.
Basketball story.
Yeah.
And Tug played Larry Bird in that production.
How about that?
And I thought to myself, wow. Tug looks like a young Gregory Peck, you know, but far greater than just his look
acting
chops.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be quite exciting to have the local boy that comes home and he wants to do some master classes. And he's just so jazzed that Riverside has become such a great performance space for this area. So we're really looking forward to that. And then right after doing To Kill a Mockingbird, which is going to make a difference, it's a story that makes a difference, we're going to come right back with another musical that makes a difference in mental health. It's a Pulitzer Prize winner 10 years ago. It's a show called Next to Normal. And it is the family struggles with mother's mental health issues.
Huh.
And it is sensational. And we are going to partner with some local organizations. And Adrian Hick, who is so well known here now, having starred in Bright Star, and she played Mother in Ragtime, and then most recently Bridges of Madison County with her husband. She and her husband, Andrew, are going to be the couple in Next to Normal. And I think I can't say enough.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be absolutely terrific. And so we will have that. And then we'll go right to tried and true, old-fashioned Broadway. Ted, I said I would probably never do it on my watch.
Oh, no, it's coming.
But it's coming, and I'm looking forward to it. And I'm even going to direct it. But we are going to have a Sound of Music in the fall of 2025 like you will have never seen it before. I'm not going to do anything weird, no changes. You know, everybody still comes at me for what I did with Camelot. So many people love Camelot. But whatever. No, I'm not going to be, you know, because it's funny. People call in now and say, well, is he going to do something really crazy with The Wizard of Oz? And no, I didn't do anything crazy. And everybody loved The Wizard of Oz. So this Sound of Music is just, let's say it's going to be fresh.
Okay.
It's gonna be heartfelt. It's going to be I think that the music will be highlighted, and I want people to walk out and go, gosh, that's the best Sound of Music we've ever seen. And so there you have it. Be with us for the fall. It'll be crisp, it'll be cool, it'll be the Sound of Music. And I'm talking with the set designer now, and we're going to do something that will not even remotely look like any production of the Sound of Music that has been done in the past at Riverside.
Oh, I'm so intrigued by this.
So, I'm just looking forward to, you know, the show was done at Riverside 3 times. And I have some snide people will say, oh, the Sound of Music, well, that's been done so. Yeah, it has. But it's popular. You know, it comes on TV every year, just like The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
So But we will have a spectacular cast, and we will do a great Sound of Music. And then for the holidays, every other year we do the Christmas Spectacular, and then we, in its place, we do what we call a book musical. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't get much better than White Christmas. And so we will have White Christmas for the holiday season. So there you have it.
That's why the phones were ringing off the hook.
Yeah. Yeah. And let me tell you this. I have 4 shows already in the bag for 2026.
Whew.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Got to get the plans going. You know?
Yeah.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting. And you know, and it's exciting. I mean, so many great things are going on, and I just think this summer has been spectacular. When everyone was disappointed about Clue, and you took that and made this into just an unforgettable summer.
Yeah. And here's some. How much time do we have before the next break? Because I have some breaking news.
Let's do the break, and we'll have the breaking news, we'll wrap it up. Patrick Aaron here, RiversideDT.com, RiversideDT.com. We'll conclude when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Yeah.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Patrick Ahern here this morning, and what's your breaking news? You won't even tell me during
well,
the
I'm
break.
Well, I hope I can break this news. I don't see why I can't. I mean, it's still development. But, you know, we've been talking about all these great things that are happening at Riverside and how strong we have been post-pandemic and always wanting to be the regional performing arts center for the area and building up the area around Riverside, you know. There's land over there, and the people who own that land, I was contacted, Ted, probably about 10 days ago by a developer from the area. I think he's out of D.C. And he said to me, I want to introduce myself. I want to tell you that how amazing it is to have such a great performing arts center in the area. And I want to let you know that our plans are to develop all around you in Riverside Parkway in the area. And I said, what? And he said, the people who own the land are working with me, and we want to know that we can get your support and you have our support. But we are going to be opening 2 fine dining restaurants adjacent to Riverside in that whole swatch of land as you drive up Riverside to the left, a new hotel, a sports complex, and as you wrap around and go up Riverside Parkway along 95, that's where I take my walks, and you go up around that bend, there's a few houses back there, and then there's much land back there. They're also looking into developing upscale condos that overlook the Rappahannock River. And
you can be really part of, I mean, you'll be one of the anchors of all
well,
of that.
When I had the conversation with the man, and he said, I'm going to send you some of the plans, some of the stuff, talk to your board. His email to me was, what a great conversation to have with somebody who's so passionate about the arts in this area and has created such a gem for us to partner with. And to me, how great is that? You know, one of the restaurants they are talking about having is Ruth Chris Steakhouse.
Whoa.
You know?
Wow.
Yeah. So what that allows Riverside to do is continue to develop into that theater
you've talked about.
Yeah.
If you've got restaurants you can walk to within walking
distance.
There's
restaurants there. We will still continue to do some kind of food.
Yeah.
You know, because some people say, well, gee, is that going to kill? No. But as we are building an audience at Riverside, we want our audiences to be those that people who want to eat, those that people who don't want to eat, just have a drink, and those people who might want to eat but might want to go to a regular restaurant. And it's good for everybody.
Oh, it is. And even having the hotels nearby, you've
a
got
a nice
people.
Hotel. Right? We've already got the Great Holiday Inn, who's been a wonderful partner to us right now, by the way. I can't say enough about them. And then you've got another hotel in front of them. And to have another one right in the area there. I mean, it's going to be great for that section over there, because it's it gets forgotten that it's tucked away, and you know, we can maybe wouldn't it be great to get an exit right off of there, right into our parking lot, you know? You know, these are great things. They're happening for a great area.
It is. It just opens up you, whether just even the residential. You can walk to the theater. You can take people. It's so many sports teams now. The Braves were the first one that did it. Their stadium now. There's all these eating places around, and you eat. You go to the ball game. That's just what's happening.
And with Riverside as the focal point, as the apex of a great performing arts center, right there in the midst of all this stuff. How great!
So, RiversideDT.com. What a great show! There's a lot going on. We'll get together and talk.
I know these are all in the planning stages, so I hope we don't get calls saying when is it going to. When probably within the next 5 years, but
it's
out there. It's exciting, and I'm just really pleased for the area and for us at Riverside.
RiversideDT.com. Thank you, Patrick. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Ted.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.